just imagine a mid-30s software guy, dad, in corporate America, living in the suburbs of Baltimore, that created a podcast. Well, get excited, and I know that sounds exhilarating, because that's me, and this is my podcast. Hey, this is Jason. Welcome to episode number 4 of the podcast. And I'm going to be covering a topic on this episode related to au pairs. What the heck an au pair is, what they do for you, and answer some questions that we had during the process of becoming a host family for an au pair. So one of the things that I believe, in my opinion, new families do a lot of Googling about is childcare. Perhaps that isn't an issue for some folks because one of the parents is going to stay home. But in our case, we needed childcare. So in all of the searching, we eventually led ourselves to researching the au pair program. An au pair is a foreign person that wants to come to the United States to get the United States culture, understand more education and lifestyles and all of that good stuff. So it's a J-1 visa program, and it is regulated by the federal government. So we ended up hosting a lady from South Africa. She is 25 years old, and she has came to the United States. She lives in our home, and in return for room and boarding, we get help around the house and childcare. The au pair program we used was Cultural Au Care, which you can find information to on my blog at jams.net. And that program, you pay a specific fee. And when you pay that fee, you will get access basically to a database of people that you can ultimately connect to. So once you enroll with Cultural Care and you have access to that database, you can look at specific filters and requirements of somebody you would want. So for us, they had to have infant experience, given it was going to be for our 3-month-old. And it's important to note that they cannot be alone with a child that is less than 3 months old. So if you have a 2-month-old and you're going to have an au pair, an adult has to be with the au pair and the child at the same time. And I think that's important, right? I mean, you don't want to be giving your, 8-week off to somebody that's just came into the country. When they come into the country, the program, part of your program fees are paying for them to go to New York City and get training and other certifications. So they'll fly from their home country into New York City. And then depending on where you're at, they'll go from New York City to the destination. In our case, it was a bus ride from New York City to Maryland. Our au pair actually was with another host family very briefly. So she was outside of Washington, D.C. That's who she was placed with. And it didn't work out. And we ended up finding her. We had lots of different Skype interviews with her. So you do video conferencing. And to the extent you can get to know somebody, you try your best to get to know them. We also read the transition document from the other host family to really understand why it wasn't working. And then you can read all the information from her interview in her home country, as well as any notes that the local providers might have. When you get to a point where you feel comfortable with that person, it's almost like interviewing somebody for a job. You say, hey, we would love to have you part of our family. And you ultimately both come to an agreement. You click a connect button, and that lets the cultural care staff know that there was a connection. So you'll pay your program fees directly to cultural care. Those program fees come out to, I believe, right around $8,000 or $9,000. So it's easy to say, my goodness, that's a lot of money. My goodness, why can't I just find somebody on my own? And I will admit, that's exactly what we said. And when we began the process, we eliminated it because we just thought it was a whole lot of money initially. And we did local interviews of nannies, and we hired a nanny. And the nanny came, and the first day after being here, we had to let the nanny go. It just didn't work. So we had to reevaluate what we needed as a family. And I travel a little bit for work, but when I'm not traveling, I work from my home office. My wife has a great career and it's demanding, but she's going to be leaving the home, go to the office and come back. And where we live, there's a lot of traffic. So as much as she would like to be home every day at 5:30, it may be 6 o'clock one day. It might be 5:10 one day. It may be 6:30 one day. As much as I would like to leave my home office, I might get a call and have to support people in California at 6 p.m. So we needed flexibility. So the au pair program is going to give you 45 hours per week that you can basically use however you want, but you can't exceed 10-hour days. You also have to give them either a Saturday or a Sunday off each week. So you pay the program fees. In our case, we decided to do the four-month payment plan just in case something didn't work out, we would be able to exit the program a little easier. And then you pay the au pair the weekly stipend per week. I believe it's $195, it may be $200 per week. Your first reaction might be, wow, that's no money for them. But remember, you know, she's living in a major metropolitan area for free. All the food is paid for, cell phone is paid for, she uses one of her cars, and we pay for insurance. So there's a lot of other fees that basically come into play. So even though they're only getting, say, $200 a week, it's not only. There's a lot of other fees that she's saving. That's $200 just right in her pocket without any of the other expenses. And, you know, the point of the cultural care program and the au pair program is really cultural exchange. Like, you really want that person to be part of your family. But that's where Amber and I were a little concerned, admittedly, going into the program. And really, our concerns were more of, while we're a traditional family, in many aspects, we are not a traditional family. And what I mean by that is, we are, you know, well, mid to late 30s, working professionals. And a lot of the other host families, there's about 27 host families around us, they tend to be a little bit later in their career, their kids tend to be a little bit older, and their lifestyle seems to be a little bit more predictable, let's say, where we might wake up and say, hey, let's go out to our condo at the beach, or hey, let's do this, or you know what, we don't want to cook dinner. And that was another point. Like, we don't have, you know, every day at 6 o'clock, let's sit at a table and eat dinner. And what a lot of the au pairs seem to have wanted was exposure to the American family lifestyle. And I think this was a big reality I had to face, that is the American lifestyle what they expect, right? Do they expect mom and dad to get home from work and the kid comes running to them and they sit down and have a dinner? We don't do any of that. So we had to be very clear with the au pair that, you know, we're going to have some things in place to do that. But you do have to be independent. And if you're looking for that type of family, that's simply not us, right? We're not going to be that family. So my point here is, I think during the interview process, you want to be very honest with the au pair that, you know, we're not maybe as formal of a family that you see on TV. However, we're a great family. And I think honesty is key. Explain how you guys live your life. Explain what you do. Explain a typical morning and an evening. And we were very honest about that. We said, you know what, some nights we might just want to eat, you know, a frozen dinner from the freezer, sitting on the couch playing with the baby. So, you know, that seemed to eliminate some of the candidates. It seemed to have energized some of the other candidates, because when they get off work, which is technically caring for your child, they may not want to hang out with their boss, being the family, every night. So, you know, being honest was key. And what we did to adapt is, we are huge fans of organization in our family, right? We have hectic lifestyles. We can't just be scatterbrained. So a lot of what we do is, we put things on the calendar. We have a family calendar on Google. The au pair has access to it on her cell phone. And we do assign nights that people are cooking. So basically Monday, Tuesday, Wednesday, Thursday, there's going to be food prepared in the house. It doesn't mean we have to eat together. It doesn't mean we're going to sit at a plated dinner. But it means Monday, my wife cooks. Tuesday, I'll cook. Wednesday, we might just pick up food. And Thursday, the au pair cooks. So there's always going to be a freshly prepared dinner. Friday is reserved for date night for Amber and I, even though that might just mean we're hanging at home with the baby. We just want our private time. And then Saturday and Sunday, everybody's independent. There's always going to be food stocked in the house. However, nobody's cooking. We're going to cook, maybe. Maybe we don't. So the au pair has to make sure she can prepare her own meal on the weekends. That's also really important because many weekends we might go out of town to the shore and hang out at our condo. Related to groceries and buying groceries, every Sunday night the au pair has to email Amber and I what she would like us to get at the grocery store. We do not have our au pair go grocery shopping for us. We actually buy our groceries online, go to the grocery store, pick them up. So it's like a 10-minute process, but it's very efficient for us versus, you know, having her waste a lot of time sitting at the grocery store. So the key theme here is when you're interviewing and, you know, you definitely want to be honest and transparent about how your family operates and focus on making sure you do explain a typical evening. So that way they don't show up and they're disappointed that you guys aren't having a formal family dinner. In our case, we did that and the au pair understands and she likes cooking for us. We like eating together, chatting. She realizes that we might sit on the couch and have the baby on the floor crawling around, and it all worked out okay. But I wasn't sure that would be the case, and I had lots of conversations with the local lady in charge of the au pair program, and you know, her guidance turned out to be very true, just being open and honest about how you guys do it. So one of the other things I want to discuss related to the au pair program is, you know, what does the au pair actually do in her free time? So this is the most shocking aspect to me. My expectations were all of the local au pairs would really hang out together and do lots and lots of activities. Now, every month they do have a formal meeting where they all get together, and it's ran by the local leader of the au pair program. But outside of that, it's definitely like you're back in school. I mean, the au pairs form their own little groups. Some are invited, some are not. They get their own friends. And it really turns more into micro gatherings versus, you know, a group of them all going to DC and exploring. I've also, I guess, expected more of the au pairs to want to go like out of town every weekend, even if it's just day trips. And the frequency of that, why it happens, isn't really what I anticipated. I mean, we're very close to Philadelphia, New York City, DC. You know, all of those are day trips on a bus or train very easily, right? You know, so they do plan trips, but I would say a lot of it is staying very local to the community. You know, even though we live in the suburbs, a typical evening is the au pair will get off and go to the local town center or hang out with one or two of the other au pairs and watch a movie. And they watch a lot of movies at the movie theater. And I don't know if that's just a culture thing, an age thing. I don't really know because I don't go to the movies, but I was kind of surprised by that. So usually she'll get off work. I'll take care of the baby for a few minutes, and then my wife gets home and we mutually take care of the baby. She'll typically go to her room, you know, use the internet, and then eventually leave. And weekdays, we do have a curfew of 11 p.m. So she may go see a movie at like 8 or 9 o'clock and she's home by 10 o'clock or so. You know, the internet is like, you know, their savior. Lots of calls back to their home country by way of WhatsApp or Skype, constantly on the phone, and TV is like secondary. Everything's just streaming. So even though I consider myself not an old person, living with somebody in their early 20s makes you question that very, very quickly, you know, is what I've learned. And then, you know, nights where she might not go out, you know, the way our house is set up, it's a contemporary home. So the kitchen and the main great room and master suite are all on the second floor of the home. And the first floor has guest bedrooms, the baby room, the au pair's room, and our rec room. She'll typically just hang on the first level of the house. And Amber and I are typically upstairs. And, you know, we'll see each other in the kitchen and we'll pass, but you know, it's not to the extent of her sitting on the couch watching TV with us every night. I mean, I think au pairs, like any early to mid 20-year-old, you know, definitely want some alone time to do their own thing. And they'll kind of define what their own thing is. So, you know, that, you know, there's pros and cons of that. I mean, if I was an au pair, I would probably want to be, you know, exploring. And I think there's some that probably do that more so than, the au pair we have or other au pairs in the program. And, you know, I think, you know, when we have au pairs in the future, we will probably probe a little bit more around what a typical evening is. And do they like to travel? Do they really want to absorb the culture? Or are they really just coming here to you know, be a little more of a micro community versus a macro, like leaving and going out and exploring everything you can do on the East Coast? So that would be some feedback I have, is really do a good job understanding what their evening activities would look like. And are they willing to do things alone, right? Because some of the au pairs are not going to be in areas where there's a lot of other au pairs. So, you know, are they willing to go to, you know, a museum alone? Our au pair prefers to do things with another person. So if another person is not available, I definitely do notice that, you know, she just kind of stays at home. So those are some things and food for thought to think about when you're doing the interview process with au pairs. All right, so if you are asking me, hey Jason, are you pleased with the au pair program? Do you think it's been a good journey so far? We've had the au pair for, I guess it's been, what, three and a half, close to 4 months. I would say it is. It is a lifestyle change. You do have to take into account some of the tips I gave. But in terms of what you're getting, if you pick the right au pair and you do a good interview process, I do firmly believe that they will add value to your family. You will learn a lot. And it's a really good overall way to ensure the best child care for your kid or kids, which was our number one goal. So do your research. Feel free to email me. I would definitely recommend the agency versus just finding some random person on the internet, because you get a lot of benefits there, as I discussed. And just be open and honest through the whole process. Don't try to act like somebody your family isn't. And that typically would lead to a good match. So I hope this has been helpful. I appreciate you tuning into episode number 4. I'm excited for episode number 5. I have some other good topics to cover. And I'm going to try to be very descriptive in the title of each podcast, so you can make sure what you're tuning into is exactly what you want to be hearing. So again, thanks for tuning in. Have an awesome week, and we will talk soon.